Men, look at verse number 13. The Bible reads, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and one of them he chose 12, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Now, in Luke chapter number 6, we have a lot of information, and we have a great sermon by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching to his disciples. We see here he's choosing 12. It says in verse 17, "And he came down with them." Who's the them? It's the 12 disciples, the apostles, "and stood in the plain and in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases." Now, what I want to make clear to you is just because the word disciple is used does not mean it's always referring to the 12. Because in fact, anybody that's following Jesus Christ is a disciple. Those are just elect disciples, chosen disciples that are the 12. Okay, but there was many people that were Jesus' disciples throughout the Bible. And I'm going to give you a verse to prove it, but go to John chapter 6. Keep your finger here because we're going to come right back. But even in Luke chapter 7, 1, he said, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum." So the sermon that we just heard in Luke chapter number 6, it was designed for disciples. It was designed for the saved. And preaching of God's word, when you come to church, it should be designed for the saved. It's not a goal to just get everybody saved in the audience. That's a one-time event, okay? Obviously, if you believe in a work salvation, then you know what they preach? Salvation every single week. Yeah. Salvation, salvation, salvation. And look, salvation's a great message. Hey, all your sins are forgiven. You don't have to serve God at all. All you have to do is believe in him. That's a really great message. But, you know, once you get saved and then you show up at church, it's a lot different message. That whole thing about you can just live however you want changes. It changes really drastically. Faith without works is dead. Okay, and what Jesus Christ is doing is he's really bringing a strong admonition, a strong rebuke and reproof to a lot of different people based on their lifestyles. Now, look at John chapter 6, verse 66. It says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" So notice, there was a bunch of disciples that left, but the 12 stayed. Why? Because Jesus just preached. You know what causes a lot of people to stop following Christ? Preaching. It's sad, but it's just the reality. And whenever you actually preach like Jesus, it's going to cause a stir in people's hearts. It's going to be really difficult for them to be like, oh, okay. The way they live doesn't match the way that Jesus preaches. And so they get offended and they get driven away from God's word. Now go back to Luke chapter number 6. And this sermon that he preaches unto us is nothing different. If we expound on this sermon, which we're going to do, it really hits home. It really hurts a little bit. Why? Because when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you still have that old flesh with you. You still have that old man. Nothing of your flesh reformed. It didn't get any better. And unfortunately, most people continue to just walk in the flesh and act in the flesh and do the things of the flesh. They don't try to walk in the Spirit. And because of that, they end up suffering a lot of problems. They have a lot of issues. Their life is just going to be a very painstaking life. The way of transgressors is hard, is what the Bible says. So when you forsake God's commandments and you're not doing what he said, your life is going to be miserable. Look at verse 20. "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." Oh, that's like a sign, you know, up there, right? Cast your name over there. "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." So notice, when we read in the Old Testament, we love Elisha, and we love Jeremiah, and we love Isaiah. The world hated these guys. The world had their signs, and they were protesting them, and they were mad at them, and they're trying to get them to stop, and they're throwing them in jail, and they're trying to get them killed. They don't like these guys, and it's no different today. Look at verse number 24. "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." Look what Jesus Christ is bringing up. He first brings up the blessing. Blessed are you poor. Woe unto you that are rich. He says, hey, blessed are you when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, You know what? Woe unto you that are full. And the title of the morning sermon is, Woe unto you that are full. You say, oh, who is he talking about? Well, we're going to figure that out, okay? Let's define some terms. What does woe mean? You say, you know, sometimes you're like on a roller coaster, you're like, woe! That's not the woe that we're referring to here, okay? Woe is distress of mind. It's sorrow, it's grief, it's anguish, it's regret. That's what woe means. Now, what does it mean to be full? Okay? Full is containing or holding as much or as many as possible, having no empty space. So when you're full, there's no room for anything extra. I'll give you another definition, not lacking or omitting anything complete. Now, full in and of itself could be defined in a positive sense, and it could be defined in a negative sense. Romans chapter number 1 talks about people being filled with all unrighteousness. That's a bad feeling. You know what? Full of joy, full of mercy, those are good things. Now, when he's saying woe unto them that are full, he's not saying those that are full of mercy and full of grace and full of joy and full of salvation. He's not talking about that. It's a different kind of fool. Okay, we're going to get there. What is the point that he's making here? And I'm going to throw out a word here, and this is basically the essence of the sermon. It's apathy. Apathy. And you want to make me really mad? Apathy. Apathy just drives me up the wall. It makes me more angry than anything else that I can think of. I get so sick and tired of apathy today. But you know who's apathetic? Those that are full. Whenever you're full, whenever you're rich, you're often very apathetic to the things of God. Now, let me prove this. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Now, this context, let me make it very clear again. We're not really preaching to get people saved. Now, you could take application from this passage and really you could figure out some salvation aspects here. And I want to address that quickly. But that's not the primary application of this passage. That's not who he's preaching to. He's preaching to disciples. He's preaching to those that, you know, already believe. They're already saved. And unfortunately, they're just filled up with a bunch of junk today. But in Luke chapter number 16, we're going to see a parable of somebody that was full in the flesh. He was rich. Look at verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, meaning he had everything he needed. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So we have two guys. One guy has a horrible life on this earth. He's a beggar. He has sores. He has no money. He's poor. But you know what? He's going to be comforted when he goes into heaven. When he has Abraham, you know, got his arm around him, and he's up there with Abraham as his buddy, and they're just, you know, relaxing and enjoying rest and comfort and the joys of heaven. But the other man, the rich man, he was full. He had all the food that his belly could desire. He had all the riches that he could want. He had everything. But as soon as he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell, is what the Bible says. Look what it says in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He can add a drink of water every single day of his life. He never went without thirst while he's on this earth. But then he's in hell for all of eternity, and he just wants one drop of water, never going to get it. Woe unto them that are full. Woe unto them. When I go into the rich neighborhood, and I have a King James Bible, and salvation's so easy and so simple, I'm good. Not interested. Woe unto you. Woe unto you that are full. It's sickening. It's gross. How could you not care? If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? I don't care. People say that. Woe unto you. Look what he says in verse number 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He says this, and he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Look, the Bible is what's going to get people to do the right thing. And if you're apathetic towards the Word of God, you're not going to change. I don't care if all the prophets come to you in the night and wake you up. You know what's going to change your heart? The Word of God. And if the Word of God is not changing your heart, well, guess what? You're too full. You're way too full on other junk. You're letting too much crap come into your heart today, and because you're so full, you're so apathetic to the things of God. Now go to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. We're gonna learn a little bit before we get into the preaching, all right? That was just a sample. But you better buckle up. Proverbs 27. God uses carnal truths to expound spiritual truths. What's the carnal truth? When you're full, you really just become very apathetic. You become lazy. You become tired. Look what it says in Proverbs 27, verse 7. The full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Notice, when you're stuffed, it doesn't matter how good the food is that's set before you. You don't want to eat it. I mean, I've been to buffets where the food is just amazing. It's spectacular. But once you cross that full point, you don't want another bite. It doesn't matter if it's prime rib. It doesn't matter if it's chocolate cake. It doesn't matter if it's fruit. You're just done. And you end up loathing it. Like, the thought of another bite actually makes you feel a little bit queasy, a little bit sick. This is a carnal truth. This literally happens. You can get to the point where you eat too much. You even want to vomit. You're just so queasy and you're frustrated. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. But here's the thing. When you're starving, there's a strong motivating factor for you to get food. When you're starving, in fact, your idea of what's, you know, acceptable to eat starts going further down and down as the hungrier you get. I mean, the hungrier you get, you know, the more appealing fast food becomes. I mean, if you're full, the idea of fast food might make you want to vomit. But if you haven't eaten in a long time, you're just like, man, Taco Bell sounds good. I'd eat those McDonald's fries, you know, even if they weren't even warm. Whoa. This guy's beside himself, you know. Proverbs 16, look at verse 26. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Notice, the Bible has a strong connection. Your belly actually causes you to want to work. And in fact, if you didn't need to eat, you probably wouldn't work that hard. If you were just full, if you already had your last meal and you're like, I'm never going to be hungry again, you'd be a lot less likely to ever work again. All these homeless people, they just go hang out at the beach and just do whatever. Now, go to Ecclesiastes 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We need to understand this carnal truth so that we can understand the great spiritual truths that God wants to give us. And the reality is, if you're full, you start to become apathetic. What is apathetic? You just don't care. You're not interested. You have no enthusiasm. There's no excitement. There's no zeal. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16. Woe to thee, O land, when thy child's a king, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season. Notice this, for strength and not for drunkenness. So he's saying, hey, it's a problem when all you do is you're just constantly feasting yourself, not because you need it for energy, not because you need it to survive, but rather you're just stuffing yourself and you end up becoming drunken. Now, drunken in this context is the fact that you're full. It's not being like an alcoholic necessarily. Obviously, that has its own context, but being drunken in and of itself just means you're full. You could be drunken on all kinds of different beverages or foods or things like this. And he's saying, woe unto you when all of your rulers, the only thing they care about is just filling their gullet, just going around and just eating food. In fact, when they wake up in the morning, their first thought is just food. What can I eat? Give me, you know, let me just stuff my face and just fill my gullet and get as much food as I possibly can. Why is that a problem? Because as soon as you start filling your gullet, you start losing desire to do anything else. You start becoming apathetic into the day. Now, I have an article. Let's look at verse 18 before I get there, okay? By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. You think that's a coincidence? That he brings up all these men, these princes and these rulers. Hey, they're eating for drunkenness. And then guess what happens? Hey, slothfulness. The building's decaying. Look, if I get so stuffed and full, I don't want to do anything the rest of the day. And then through much idleness and slothfulness, the building decayeth. Bad things happen. You don't want your princes to be like that. You don't want your rulers to be the people that wake up and they just eat and gorge themselves and only care about satisfying the flesh. Now, I'll give you one more verse. Proverbs 19:15 says, "Slothfulness casts them into deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." I don't even like preaching on a full stomach. In fact, I pretty much try to avoid eating hours and hours before I ever preach. Why? Because I know that if I just ate like a full meal right before I preach, I'm going to be a little bit just kind of, you know, sedentary, a little bit more relaxed. I'll probably burp a lot, you know. I'm just being honest, okay? Now, I've done it. It's not like I've never done it. Sometimes you have a fellowship right before and you want to hang out with people and things like this. But 99% of the time, I haven't eaten for several hours before I preach because I don't want to. And in fact, I notice I preach a little bit hangrier. No, I'm just kidding. But I haven't been eating. Now, this article I looked at, it says, "Why do I feel tired after eating?" It was from healthline.com. It says, "Feeling tired after eating? We've all felt it. That drowsy feeling that sneaks in after a meal. You're full and relaxed and struggling to keep your eyes open." It's called, you know, 2 p.m., right, at the workplace. Why are meals so often followed by a sudden urge to take a nap? And should you be concerned about it? In general, a little bit of sleepiness after eating is completely normal and nothing to worry about. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of this article because I don't care. The point is it's bringing up, hey, it's just common. It's common knowledge. It's just obvious that after eating a full meal, you often tend to feel a little bit sleepy, tired, relaxed, comfortable. Let me look at another article. "Why do you get sleepy after eating?" These are the top theories from Time.com, Time Magazine. "If eating makes you tired, you got something in common with most people. And for that matter, with most living things. Researchers have turned up evidence of postprandial sleepiness, also known as a food coma." In fact, most of the time when I would go out to eat lunch with my coworkers when I was working in the software industry, they were always talking about their food coma afterwards. And since I didn't work a real physical labor job, man, that 2 p.m. would hit hard. I mean, you sitting at a computer after stuffing your gullet, you're just kind of like, I'm just going to think about this code for a second, you know. It's just like, I mean, it hits hard. It says, researchers have turned up evidence, it says, in a food coma, okay, in insects, snakes, worms, and rats. So you're just like a rat. The conservation of this behavior across species suggests that it's really important for something, says William Jha, an associate professor of neuroscience at the Scripps Research Institute in Florida, who has studied this food coma phenomenon. Some experts have hypothesized that animals, humans included, have built-in vigilant signals that keep them awake and alert when hungry. These signals help them locate and acquire food. It follows that once an animal or human has eaten a lot, these vigilant signals dissipate and are replaced by feelings of fatigue. So even this secular article, it says, hey, when you're hungry, it's like there's something just kicking off in your brain, like, let's go out and get some food. Let's go find somewhere to eat. Hey, I've got some energy. I'm ready to go out and do some work. But as soon as you satisfy those things, you start to be like, oh, okay, I'm done. Good, relaxed. This is a carnal truth today that Jesus Christ is appealing to. And I have secular articles. I can show you verse after verse after verse. And in fact, the Bible even brings up animals being in the same behavior. So the article is very biblical. Now go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. You say, what is going to help me get past this? Well, you have to seek for it. You have to desire it. You have to want something. That's going to give you the energy. That's going to get you past your apathetic state. It's going to get you past some of your apathy, is actually desiring something, being hungry. You know, people want to find the truth, and that causes them, you know, to get past a lot of apathy today. You know who's not interested in, you know, the gospel? People that aren't interested in truth. Isn't that interesting? They're not hungry for the truth, so guess what? They don't seek any truth, do they? And it says in Proverbs 30, look at verse 8, "Remove far from me," notice this, "vanity and lies." This guy is a truth seeker. He hates lies. He hates vanity. He's not interested in things that don't matter, that don't care. He's decided, you know what? I'm not going to be apathetic in this world today. I'm not just going to fill myself on vanity and lies today. I want some truth. So now what does he say? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Notice he's bringing up food, isn't he? Verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee. Now, let me make it clear again. This context is a saved person. It's not an unsaved person. He's saying, hey, God, I don't want you to just fill my gullet with so much stuff, so much food, because then I'll start denying you. Because then I'll stop caring about you because I'm so apathetic. Look what he says. And say, who is the Lord? What a bad state to get into. Notice he's taking the carnal truth and he's making it real clear for us the spiritual truth. He's bringing us both pictures, isn't he? He's saying, hey, when you get full, you stop caring about God. You stop desiring God. You stop wanting God when you're just filling yourself. He says, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Look, being poor is not a virtue either. He's saying, hey, I don't want to struggle so much where I can't ever find any food. But you know what? I want to have that healthy balance of constantly needing, you know, still go out and work and get that food. And so I'm not denying you. I'm still relying upon you for my food. But at the end of the day, I want to find it. Okay? He doesn't want to keep going out and searching and not finding anything. He wants to have kind of just food that's convenient for him. Things that are good for him. Now, go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Here's the problem. Let's turn to the spiritual now, okay? We've established the carnal truth, and the carnal truth just, you know, kicks our butt spiritually, all right? Because people have a tendency to give up on spiritual things, give up on the Lord when they're full. When they get full, they just start denying God. They're not interested in the things of God. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And as he entered in a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leopards, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Look, 9 people that just got miraculously healed by God, they can't even come back and say thank you. Why? Because they're just full. Well, I'm good now. Why do I need to seek God? I'm good now. Why do I even have to go say thank you? Hey, some stranger just came to my door and gave me the gospel, but I can't even just go to the church one time and say thank you. Where are the 9? I mean, you're just going to rot in hell for all of eternity. I guess, you know, it's not enough to just come and say thanks one time, huh? Why? Because they're full now. Oh, you mean I don't have to go to church to go to heaven? Great. Not going. Oh, I don't like institutionalized religion. They try to make you do stuff. You're right. You're right about that. They're going to preach about my sin. You're right about that. They're going to make me feel uncomfortable. They're going to make me want to crucify the flesh. Well, woe unto you that are full today. These guys are full, and you know what? They're denying the Lord at this point, aren't they? Now, from an unsaved perspective, obviously we kind of covered that. People that, you know, are full on work salvation, they're full on false religion, they're full on all these other things, they're good. They don't need the gospel. They don't want to hear, hey, I was born Catholic, my parents are Catholic, my grandparents are Catholic, we're good. Can I show you what you're saying is wrong in the Bible? No. Not interested. Don't want it. Well, woe unto those people. What about people that are sitting here this morning and they say, you know what? I don't really think I need church. Woe unto you. Woe unto you if you think you don't need church. What about people that come and they sit here and they think, well, I know what the Bible says. I don't really need to read my Bible. Woe unto you. Woe unto you if you think you know the Bible. Woe unto you if you think you're done reading the Bible. You know, sometimes people in the Christian life, they think they've arrived. Go to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. You know, often I think, does this? Pastors. Because knowledge puffeth up. Oh, I know the Bible. I know all the stories. I've read it. So they stop reading God's word and they start filling themselves with junk. And they start getting full of junk today and then they don't actually teach the people any of God's word because they're so full of junk. I don't care who you are. You're not full on God's word. You ought to be poor today. You ought to be hungry for God's word. I don't care who you are. How many times you read the Bible, how much you have it memorized, how many sermons that you've heard, you're not anywhere close to full. And if you think that you're full, woe unto you. Yeah. Look at Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. So here's the thing. There's a lot of pastors today. There's a lot of men that are saved today. And guess what? They do know the Bible. They have a lot of great truths. They have, you know, learned a lot of these things. But instead of actually imparting that knowledge to other people, they start filling themselves with junk, and then they start feeding the people with junk. And they stop preaching the Bible. You know, if I go and ask, you know, pastors all kinds of different things in the Bible, hey, is this what the Bible says about this? Yeah. Hey, you know, do you believe in the death penalty? Yeah. Do you believe birth controls a sin? Yeah. Do you believe the King James Bible is the only word of God and all the modern versions are wicked as hell? Yeah. Well, then how come you never preach that? Do you think that people that don't hear the gospel or people that, you know, believe a false gospel are going to hell? Yeah. Well, how come you never preach on hell? Well, here's the thing. They're so full on the Bible, they're so apathetic towards the things of God that they start reading commentary and they just listen to Fox News all day and they just listen to all the world today and they get all their sermon ideas from their own buddies today. So then when they stand behind the pulpit, you know what comes out? That junk. Because they're so full on that junk today and they think, I don't need the Bible. I got that. It's wicked. Woe unto you that are full today. And you know what? You're going to hunger. Look at verse 4. The disease have you not strengthened. Neither have you healed that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Why? Because the shepherds, they're so full and fat and lazy, they don't want to actually go seek anybody out. Look at verse 7. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. Notice this, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. So they're fine just sitting at home feeding themselves and gorging themselves. But you know what? They don't care to actually go out and care for other people. Yeah. And seek for the lost. And to help people and to minister unto people. Why? Because they're so full today. They're so full on the Word of God. And they look at the world and they're like, oh, it's the Laodicean age. Yep. You're the one that's the Laodicean.
Yeah, right.
You're the one that's apathetic and a pathetic loser. If you think, oh, it's Laodicean age. Look, you're the one that's supposed to go out and feed them. You know why it's Laodicean age is because you're a Laodicean Baptist. You're lazy. That's why. And you know why they got lazy? Because they're so full. Usually full of lies. Look at verse 9. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, it's the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more? For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. He says, hey, guess what? Now you're going to be hungry. I'm going to cast you out. I'm going to take your flock from you. And you know what? These Baptists today, these independent Baptists today that are going to stop preaching the Bible, they're not going to repent. They're not going to turn back from it. Guess what? God's going to take the flock out of their hand. Woe unto them. You know what? I don't care what independent Baptist you are. I don't care what friends you have. I don't care what movement you're in. I don't care what area you are in. If you start preaching the Word of God the way it's supposed to be preached, people will come. You really think that there's going to be somebody out there that's just tearing it up, that's like the greatest preacher out there and nobody wants to hear? Nobody's going to come. God's not going to send them. Of course not. I don't care who you are. I don't care what friends you have. I don't care who your sinning pastor was. I don't care that. I don't care if you have 10 Bible college, you know, degrees. It doesn't matter. Or if you have none, it does not matter. What matters is that you preach the Word of God. And you know what? No matter who my sinning pastor is, no matter who my friends are, no matter what movement or anything that I'm associated with is, that doesn't matter. If I just sit up here and preach lies, you know what's going to happen? My church is going to be filled with idiots and morons and flat earthers and railers. Right. And the church is going to be really unhealthy. And eventually it'll just crumble and cripple and die. I have to still preach the Word of God every single Sunday, every single Sunday night, every single Wednesday. I have to constantly feed the flock or God's going to take it away from me. Just like He should every pastor, and He will. I ought not just get so full of myself, so full of lies, so full of all kinds of other junk. I need to keep filling myself with God's Word. I need to be hungry for God's righteousness and God's Word and then feeding the people that. Right. Just like every pastor needs to. These pastors, though, they're so full of the commentary, the television. How can you be full of God's Word? It's the unsearchable riches. You don't know what the Bible says. Don't come. Look, there's pastors that have been pastoring for decades, and you could probably stump them with all kinds of things in the Bible because you forget it. I don't care how many times you've read it. I don't care how many times you studied it. And oftentimes, even things that you remember, there's somehow, it's a little wrong, or it's a little off, or you go read the context, you're like, oh yeah, or I forgot about this person, or I didn't see that before. I looked at it in a new context. Look, you can't stop learning. Every time I read the Bible, I feel like I learn way more than the last time I read it. Not less. Yeah. I'm not reading the Bible and thinking like, I mean, I already got all these things. Yeah. Every time I read the Bible, I feel like I learn more. Every single time. Every single time. Way more. And you know what? I don't think that's going to stop. There's so many things in the Bible that I read, and I think to myself, I would love to know what that means. And I'm going to have to study the Bible so much more to finally figure out what that even means. Like, there's certain sections of the Bible that I think, and I know, I would have to devote so much time and so much energy to probably understand that, and I don't have that time right now. But you know what? I'm never going to get to the place where I'm just like, oh, good. I don't even care if you had the whole Bible memorized. You would still be learning it. You would still be growing in it. We ought never get full of the Bible today. We ought not think, oh, I know all the stories and I know all the things. You know, I asked a men's preaching class. I said, can anybody in this room tell me anything about the book of Obadiah? You know what I got? Crickets. You want me to just keep playing that game? Here's the thing. You're not full, my friend. And you need to come to church and realize how not full you really are so that you can, hey, I need to get some more Bible in my life. I need to start reading the Bible a little bit more. You know, and when you start getting full on the wrong things, you start getting into bad things. Go to Ezekiel 16. Just ask David about that one. Oh, I'm done battling. I'm done going out to war. So I'm just going to go hang out on my rooftop and look at things that I shouldn't be looking at, like Bathsheba taking a bath. And then he gets into adultery, doesn't he? You say, hey, why do these pastors, they just destroy themselves? Well, they're so full on the Bible, so they have to go find something else. Oh, I don't need Bible. I need Bathsheba. Bad idea, my friend. You need the Bible. Oh, I need to find something to do with my time. It's called the Bible. If you're a pastor, I mean, come on. Memorize more of it. You don't have that much memorized. There's very few pastors that have very much of the Bible memorized. It's sad. Ezekiel 16, look at verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom my sister hath not done, nor she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Notice this, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. You want to see those things connected? It's right here. Was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Look at verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. You say, why are you worried about America? Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, haughty, committed abomination? I mean, we're the next Sodom and Gomorrah, my friend. And notice, why are they so apathetic to the things of God? Why is apathy just a curse on this nation? Because of fullness of bread. Because they're just so full today. They don't need God. You know, you look at what's the hungriest country on the planet? Africa. You know what? They're seeking God. Now, granted, they have a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. But you know what? They're a lot hungrier for God. They're a lot hungrier for the truth. You want to find some receptive people to the gospel? Try Africa. These people want the gospel. They want to be saved. They want to know the truth. They want God. And unfortunately, they have a million liars going around just deceiving them and taking advantage of them and putting on a show and, you know, for a pretense, making long prayers. Just all this junk that they're doing. And we need some of God's people to decide, hey, I want to go there and get some people saved. But here's the thing. We as God's people, oftentimes, we're just so dang full, the thought of even getting out of our own house to come to church in the morning is too dreadful. Yeah. Let alone to go across the country and preach the gospel. Why? Because you're just so full. You're just so full on all this junk, on all these lies, on all kinds of deception, on the deceitfulness of riches today. And then you get carried away with Bathsheba. You just want to watch Bathsheba on the TV, don't you? And Bathsheba at the movie house. And Bathsheba on the magazine rack. And you just want to go find something else to do because you're just so full today. Hey, if you'd be a little bit hungrier, maybe you'd start changing your life a little bit. Go to Jeremiah 5, Jeremiah chapter 5. It's sickening today. All these people, they go up to a church of lies even. Why? Because they don't want any truth. They're full. They show up to church full, so all they want is just a Starbucks coffee. They just want dessert. They want their treat. They want their Happy Meal, you know, play place. They don't even want any Bible preaching. They just want to go and just, woo, yeah, woo. 15 minutes of just like, you're awesome. Y'all are amazing. God loves you. Keep going. We're so full. Vote Trump. It's like, good night. Jeremiah 5, look at verse 4. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Now let me make it clear, because I don't want you to be confused. When he says, surely these are poor, these people are filthy rich. They have plenty of money. He's not talking about money here. Verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them there are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops into the harlots' houses. Here's the sad reality. When God blesses you and God makes you full, oftentimes you start denying him. Oh, let's go hang out with the harlots now. Let's go hang out with the hookers today. Hey, Father, give me all of my inheritance now. And then what does he do? Just wastes on riotous living and harlots. Look at verse 8. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Look, they're apathetic to God's commandments. They're apathetic to seeking God. Why? Because they're just so full. They've got their gullet full, so they think, well, what are we going to do now? Well, let's just commit abomination. Let's just commit adultery. Let's just go commit all kinds of wicked sin today. They're not relying on God anymore. I'm full. Why do I need God? Money is their God. Their belly is their God. And as long as their belly is full, they don't need God. They don't have room for God. What does it mean to be full? It's completely contained. There's no extra space. They show up to church and they're full today. They're good. They don't need anything. So let's just go commit all kinds of sin and wickedness and filth and smut today. Go to Romans 7. Apathy. Apathy is a disgusting problem that we have in America. You say, why? Because we're so full. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 14. Now, let me explain a few things for you, okay? Because at the end of the day, you have two versions of yourself in a sense. Because the Bible talks about you having the old man and having the new man. That old man is your flesh. It's your mind. It's your brain. It's your physical heart. It's your physical stomach. It's your physical body. And your flesh, in most cases, unfortunately, rules your life. If you start feeling physical pain, you're at the hospital. Hey, if your stomach starts hurting, you're grabbing food. Hey, if your brain is bored, you're going to fill it with all kinds of entertainment. Just whatever the flesh says and wants, you're just like, yes, sir, yes, master, yes, please, can I do more? Yeah. And there's a struggle. There's a struggle with that new man and a struggle with that old man. And, you know, false teachers and false prophets and wicked deceivers, they don't really teach this distinction, so they just say, oh, you need to get delivered from that. You're not going to be delivered from that until you die. That's how you get delivered. Your deliverance is death, okay? So what you have to do is you have to daily crucify that flesh. You have to daily die to that old man, and you have to pick up your cross, and you have to walk in the Spirit. You have to walk in the new man. You know what this takes? Effort. Desire. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom, is what the Bible says. It takes desire. But if you're so apathetic, you're not going to do it. Now, let me give you this struggle. It says in verse 14, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. The reality is, the Apostle Paul, he said, hey, there's things that I hate. There's things that I would never allow someone else to do, and I find myself doing them. I find myself struggling with them because I realize I'm carnal. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I can sin the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So he's saying, hey, I woke up this morning and I thought, Bible. And you know what I did? I grabbed orange juice. I grabbed the cereal. You know what I did? I grabbed the newspaper. I grabbed the Facebook feed. I grabbed the Twitter feed. Hey, I just watched YouTube. Hey, I just slept in. I just satisfied the flesh. And he was like, I wanted to do this, but I ended up doing this. He says in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's saying, hey, my flesh is wicked. My flesh is evil. There's no good thing in it. And it's constantly warring. There's a constant struggle. There's a constant fight. Go back to chapter 6. But here's the problem. In that battle, whoever you feed, the other one's going to starve. If you feed your flesh to the full, you're not going to want to do the spiritual things. You're going to be, your spirit is going to be starving. It's going to be dying. It's going to be grieved. But you know what? If you satisfy the spirit, you know it's going to be grieved? That flesh. And that's the reason why people don't want to do it. Because you can't have both. You can't fill the flesh and the spirit today. You can't be full on both sides of the equation. You have to decide, you know what? I want to fill the spirit. I want to walk in the spirit. And that means I have to say no to the flesh. You say, well, Pastor Shelley, that doesn't sound like fun. Well, your flesh is saying that all day long. But you know who's saying yes? That spirit man. That new man inside you. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid! Oh, you mean I can do whatever I want and go to heaven? Yeah. Should you do that? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Notice this, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who are you obeying today? Who is your master today? Who are you full of today? Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which is delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now look, you have the opportunity to choose who you serve today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to deny the flesh. We're going to put it down. And what you need to do is to buckle up your flesh for a moment. How many of you say, oh, I love truth. I'm seeking truth. I'm hungry for truth today. Say, oh man, it's just me, Pastor Shelley. I'm just so hungry for truth today. Okay, well, here's another question. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? Okay, how many of you read your Bible this morning? Oh, I just love to eat food today. Which one were you hungry for?
Yeah, come on.
Which one was more important today? Oh, I'm just so hungry for this, for the truth. Are you? How many people are coming to church tonight?
Yeah.
How hungry are you? Oh, I'm just so hungry, Pastor Shelley. When are you going soul winning this week? How hungry are you?
Yeah.
Because you know what? I know that every single one of you, if you didn't eat Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Wednesday nights rolling around, and the only place open was IHOP, I'd see all of you there.
Yeah.
You'd be filling your gullet. You know, even if it was 2 hours away. No food, try it. Try no food. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you'll be calling me, Pastor Shelley, you're right. I'll eat anything. The prodigal son, he's eating the husks with the swine. You don't know how hunger affects you. But here's my question. How hungry is your spiritual man today? You say, well, I felt like it was hungry. You know the problem is? You keep filling the flesh today. You're so full on the flesh today that you don't desire God. You're so apathetic. And it destroys Christianity when everybody's just so full on the flesh today.
Yeah.
And we live in a country where it's a smorgasbord. I mean, it's just a buffet of just whatever you want, any pleasures, anything that you can possibly desire. And that's what people are constantly doing. They're just filling themselves. But you know what Jesus said? Woe unto you that are full. People are just filling themselves on cheap entertainment. So then they don't want church. Hey, if you throw all the entertainment in the trash, throw your TV in the trash, throw all the movies in the trash, throw all the trashy magazines in the trash, stop doing all the cheap garbage entertainment. You know what? I can't wait to go to church on Wednesday night. Because I didn't fill myself up with junk. I'm not going to see my wicked friends at the bar every night. So you know what? I want to see my friends at church. I'm desiring the things of God today. How about your prayer life? Who do you talk to the most? How hungry are you? Do you read your Bible or do you just watch YouTube and Facebook and, you know, who are you spending your time with? This is hardcore, Pastor Shelley. Well, you know what? The flesh man right now is getting beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
But you know what? Your spiritual man inside is saying, hit him again.
Yeah.
Go to James 4. Because you know what? All this week, your flesh didn't get beat up. You had to come to church to get your flesh beat in a little bit. And that spiritual man, he said, stand on the chair again. Yeah! Woo!
Amen.
James 4. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whosoever be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. You're just so full today. I wonder why people left Jesus preaching. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. John chapter 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Matthew 26. But the flesh is weak. Says the Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Hey, my new man wants to come to church. My new man wants to read the Bible. My new man wants to go soul winning. But that flesh of yours, he's so weak. Because he's so full on junk today. Matthew 14, watch ye and pray lest ye enter temptation. The spirit truly is ready, the flesh is weak. Ephesians 5, 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. I want your spirit, man, to actually wake up. Stop being so apathetic. Why don't you get a little hunger in that spirit, man? Romans 7, he says, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We're just taken to the flesh, all right? Romans 8, 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know who's not offended by this preaching? People walking in the Spirit. Look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The Bible's clear. What we have to do. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're just so full of the flesh today. Is God pleased with you? No. Look at verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, notice this, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What we need people to do today is they need to quit feeding that flesh. Quit getting so full on the flesh today. Mortify that flesh. Why can't you be hungry today? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I even thought about, you know, when I was, you know, preparing this message, I thought, this is hardcore. I don't want to preach this. And then, you know, my first thought was, spare not. Yeah. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You know what sparing not means? Hey, this is going to hurt a little bit, but I'm still going to do it anyways. Good. You know what? I'm only hurting your flesh and it profits nothing anyways. Yeah. Who cares about that man? That man's going to die. Yeah. It's your spirit. Your spirit in there is just like, yeah, come on, hit him again. Let's go. It's a war today. And you know who wins? Most people, they hear a sermon like this, their spirit man's like, woo! And then as soon as the church is over, you know that flesh man just goes, lunch! You walk outside, and it's just like, he's just like, lunch! And then you know what happens after lunch? You get tired and apathetic. Soul winning, look, I'm trying to beat the crap out of that flesh so he'll think about, you know, hitting the spirit. Look, where else are you going to get your flesh beat up? Nowhere. People for, you know, 6 days a week, they're just letting the flesh just wreak havoc. They need a little bit of reverse beating here. They need someone on their side. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hey, you call me Lord, but do you do the things that I say? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know what makes me angry? Apathy. They're just so full on other things. And you know, God warned about this. Over and over and over. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten, notice this, and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Pastor Shelley, I have so much money, and my house is just so nice, and I just have all these great things today. I mean, I'm just living it up. Well, you know what? That's a blessing. But beware. Beware, that's going to cause you to forget God, to forget His commandments, to forget serving Him. I mean, I get so sick and tired of wanting to show somebody something in the Bible. Hey, going to church, I don't care. How can the God of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who formed thee and your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully were you made. He fashioned together all your members perfectly. He gave you the breath of life. He gave you all kinds of wonderful blessings in this world. He gave you the power to get wealth. He sent His Son down here to die on the cross for all of your sins. A crown of thorns was shoved upon His head. He was spit upon and bruised and beaten and climbed Himself on that tree and died and tasted death for every man. And He split hell wide open for 3 days and three nights. And He rose again. Hey, do you want to hear about Jesus? I don't care. You're pathetic.
Yeah.
He gives you the Bible. You just don't want to hear it. Oh, going to church is so hard. And hear the Bible. What did God do for you? Oh, I'm just so full on all this vanity and lies today. Because let me tell you what, all the other stuff you're full on is vanity and lies.
Yeah,
vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. God put you on this earth to serve Him and to worship Him. I didn't know that was an inconvenience to you. All that God did for you. Can you imagine your little child looking at you? You're like, hey, let's hang out. Oh, I'm good. What do you mean? You're good. I give you a roof. I feed you. I take care of you. I changed all your diapers. Nah, don't want it. No thanks. Who are you to come and ask me to do anything of you? That's how most people treat God today. They're so stuffed with a bunch of junk today, they don't have any time for God. Go if you would to Matthew chapter 7. Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Your attitude should be, I'm never full. The people's attitude says that they're full, they're apathetic. The people that say, I can never attain. Be holy, even as your Father, you know, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I'm not going to attain to that. I'm not going to get there. Paul says, hey, I haven't apprehended. He keeps pressing towards the mark. He wants to know Christ. He's not full. He's hungry. He's hungry for it. That's why he keeps fighting. The people that are full, they're going to quit church. They're going to quit on God. They're going to deny God. They're not interested in God because they're just going to keep beating that flesh, and their flesh is going to just beat them into the grave. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You know who's going to find God today? Those that want to. If you seek me and find me, when you'll search for me with all your heart. The full people aren't going to stumble across God. Matthew 7, look at verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man of there is you, whom if he ask his son bread, will he give him a stone? Look, if you want to hunger for God, ask Him for it. You know, but today Christians are so full on Kanye West music, they don't want the Bible. This loser, he's literally at Joel Osteen's church playing DJ. There's a video of him. He's just got the turntables. It's not even pseudo-Christian music. It's just like, and everybody's just dancing. It's like a nightclub. It's dark. It's like he's trolling Christians. Look, I can set up a nightclub in a church. It's like, what in the world? How did people not wake up? They're so full. They're so full on Kanye West. Someone need to go in there and flip those turntables. Now, let me give you, I'm done, but I want to give you three things to chew on, all right? How are you going to fix your apathy? Number one, you need to stop eating junk. If I just go home, on my way home, okay, for dinner with my wife, if I stop and I just get five Big Macs and chow down, I'm not going to want dinner. I'm going to be apathetic towards dinner. So you know how I get hungry for dinner? I don't eat junk. I don't eat anything else. Stop filling yourself on McDonald's and fruitcake spiritually, and then you get really hungry for church and God. Number two, stop looking at junk. You know what causes you to desire things? Looking at them. When you see the billboards and you see the advertisement and you're thinking about it and daydreaming it, if you're daydreaming about the junk, guess where you're going to find yourself? At the junk. If you're daydreaming about church and the Bible and the things of God, I know where you're going to end up. And number three, this is the most important, force the right habits. Now, here's the thing. If I try to just skip one of the three meals of the day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, doesn't matter which one, you know what it's going to do? It's going to hurt. Because I force that habit upon myself. Because I miss it. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says eat three times a day. You know, some parts of the country, they eat four times a day, two times a day, one time a day. That's just a habit that we're in. You could change those habits, okay, physically speaking. Or if you added a meal. Let's say you just add a meal. Let's add a midnight snack. Some people might have already added this, okay? If you start skipping that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to miss it. You're going to start wishing, you're going to like, oh man, I want that midnight snack now. Or I'm used to having that midnight snack. Well, here's the thing. If you start going to church on Sunday night and you start forcing yourself to do it, eventually, you know what happens when you miss? You'd be like, oh man, I actually wanted to go to church on Sunday night. You end up start missing it. Hey, if you read your Bible daily and then all of a sudden you miss it on a day, you're like, man, I feel like crud because I missed my Bible reading that day. You know what you don't miss? Things that you never had a habit for. You know what I'm never hungry for? A restaurant I never tried. There's plenty of, there's lots of restaurants I've never tried. And you know what? I'm not thinking like, I can't wait to eat there. Because I've never tried it. Now, maybe if I fill myself with the advertisement, I could desire it, okay? But I'm just saying, you don't desire things that you've never done. You know who doesn't desire to go soul winning? People that have never gone soul winning. You know people don't desire to go Sunday night church? People that don't go to Sunday night church. You know people don't desire to go to Wednesday night church? People don't desire to go to Wednesday night church. If you don't do it, you're never going to get the desire. Why don't you start forcing yourself to have the right habits? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and all thy thoughts shall be established, is what the Bible says. When you just start doing it, you'll start building good habits, and you say, hey, every night I sit my kids down, and we read some of the Bible before they go to bed, and if I don't do it, I end up missing it. Why don't you just start forcing yourself to have the right habits, and then guess what? You'll start missing them. And guess what? If you're not hungry, if you're full, stop eating. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for this great preaching that you gave us in Luke chapter number 6. I pray that people would realize that if they're offended, it's just their flesh talking and they should tell it to shut up. But rather, they need to feed that spirit. And I pray that you could just give our church a great hungering and a great thirsting for righteousness, for God's word, that people would decide they need to stop filling the flesh. They need to stop being full of junk and vanity and lies today and rather purge themselves from these things and start forming new habits and start desiring righteousness, desiring God and wanting to serve God. All the things that you've done for us, sending your son and the sacrifice and the love and the attention, the long-suffering and the grace and the mercy that you give us, I pray would not be in vain today. But I pray that we'd rather decide that we need to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.